Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good afternoon. Full New York afternoon. Got a great guest for us today, and it's online and disappeared. The woman I'm talking about is the sensational comedic actress and comedy to not milk before. And hopefully Beth is going to call back in. I don't know what happened. She might have got another call. And we'll just see, wait here until she calls back in. Unless she got confused. Beth Littleford was the first female correspondent on Comedy Central's The Daily Show, where she spent 4 years before moving on to ABC's Spin City, playing the sex-crazed Deidre. In 2004, she landed a starring role in Fox sitcom Method and Red. She's guest-starred on so many shows like CSI, CSI Miami, Frasier, Without a Trace, The New Adventures of Old Christine. And she currently recurs on CBS sitcom Rules of Engagement, and on the Fox animated The Cleveland Show on the big screen. She's appeared in Judd Apatow's Gilbert Taylor with Owen Wilson, and she was brilliant in Mystery Alaska. I loved her in that. That was with Russell Crowe. Oh, she's got, now she's starring as the, I got to read it, the sexually enthusiastic mom. That's a good way to put it. On The Hard Times of R.J. Berger in its second season, premieres March 24th. And that'll be right on after the Jersey Shore and moving to regular times, Mondays at 10 p.m. She reteams with fellow Daily Show alumni Steve Carell in the dramedy Crazy Stupid Love. And that opens July 29th. And then she's got also this summer Farrelly Brothers comedy coming out, Movie 43, in which she plays a mom who strips on the Internet, cementing her status as Hollywood's Go MILF mom. All right, Beth, what happened to you there? I see you in my email. Oh, you can't hear anything. I don't know why you can't hear anything, Beth. Beth, call again. I know why you can't hear anything. You'll hear it this time. Let me find something to put on while you're calling in. I love this woman. She's fantastic. She's such a comedian. I'm surprised she hasn't been given more recognition than she should have. Let me see if I can find something here for us to, while we're waiting for her to call in. She's very, let me see. Are you there yet? Just dial again, Beth. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to help her out here. Hold on. Let me, hang on. Okay, let me find something that we can play in between while we're waiting for Beth to come on. Here we go. All right, a little something while I get this going. Be patient, everyone. It's a real treat today. Oop, anything there? Oh, there's that now.
Through a dollhouse. By a white lobster that wore glitter and spoke with a French accent.
Okay, I can stop that now, Beth. I was just doing a little music while you came on the air. Can you hear me now, Beth?
Hey, oh, Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm hanging up my home phone. I called you from my home. I was double fisting. I called you from my home and I called you from my cell because I couldn't hear anything from my home.
When you say it, hey, it lady. Takes on a whole different meaning, Beth, but okay.
I double fisted. yes, lady, I'm here. Oh, good. I got you.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
don't worry. It's a little, you know, just a little glitch. It's just I emailed you that, but you'll read it later what happens when the guests are coming on now. Hello, guest. They're coming into the chat room. Beth says hi.
Hi.
So I was just raving about you. I just read all of your credits, and it's incredible. And that's just
Thank
some
you.
Of your credits that I went back and I did a little research on you. I cannot believe how many TV shows you've done.
You've been working steady,
would you say, since 2000?
Yeah, you know, I moved out here in 2000 with Spin City, and I left The Daily Show. So people don't realize The Daily Show's been on for 15 years almost, almost 15. So I moved out here in 2000 with Spin City, and I have been very lucky. Like, you know, like anything, you do pilots, they don't get picked up. It does get picked up, and then they drop you after several episodes, but, you know, especially on the networks, which is why I'm actually glad to be on cable with this new MTV show. Our second season starts at the end of this month.
Cable gives you
more of a chance.
Is this the Hard Times
of R.J. Berger, which is a great little show that's dirty but sweet and heartfelt and about the struggles of high school. And, of course, it's pushed the envelope with the offensive comedy,
you
but it's also better than that.
I would have to say, since I've known your early works from early New York, you are a push-the-envelope kind of performer. You've always pushed.
Without really intending to, I guess I kind of am.
No, I think you're just fearless. You're just incredibly fearless.
I remember some play
you did with S&M in it. I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was that. I did do that stuff where I say, oh, that was Sex and the City before Sex and the City was even around, where I was talking about... You know, it was pretty blue, and yet it was also, like I say, about the hard times of R.J. Berger, actually with a lot of heart. I mean, a lot of pathos and a lot of, and a lot of humor.
Now, tell us about R.J. Berger.
I can get away with being dirty, actually, and I was able to get away with being...
I wouldn't even say dirty. It's very humorous because I saw the washing machine clip. And how you continued to have a conversation and do what you do.
Do you want to explain the washing machine clip? It's on my reel, so people can go to BethLittleford.com.
It's on the
reel.
If you go to www.BethLittleford.com, you can see a lot of her collective work. It's really fantastic over the years. You've just remained, as I say, the slow and the steady with your work.
Which is sort of a journeyman actor, you know. I've been lucky to keep working, and I make a living, and it's nice. And, you know, it's interesting. Eric Stone Street, who just won the Emmy this last fall for Modern Family, he's someone I did a series of about 15 commercials with, and lives down the street from me. And we both have, you know, he invited me into an actors collective, and we've been buddies. And it's the same thing. It's like you get a pilot, then it doesn't go, and you think, should I quit? Should I quit? And yet he kept working, although I think there was a struggle. I tried to get him with my agent. They said no. He got the part in the show that shows his incredible talent. You know, he's a straight man, but he's playing his mother in that role. And you know, 2 years after, 3 years after my agency turned him down, he's got an Emmy in his pocket. And by the way, other agencies turned him down, too. He had other friends who texted us all, like, tell your agents, I just won the Emmy, and they turned me down. So it really is slow and steady wins the race a little bit. That's kind of what I believe, you know, the Jane Lynch model. People, you know, she just says yes to everything. She keeps showing up, whether it's big or small. She does her thing. She has fun. We shared an agent for a long time, and I kind of like her attitude, and I've tried, especially more recently, to just have fun. It's all a chance to perform. That it can get to the point where you're so beaten down by the auditions and the rejection, but if I'm trying to see every opportunity to even audition as an opportunity to perform and have fun and do what I love to do, which gives me great pleasure, and, you know, result be damned.
Where did you study?
If I get it,
because,
if I don't.
Like I said, your approach, I knew you when you were performing, and I can't remember if there was a play called In Bed With My Parents or...
Oh, yeah, Sleeping With Mom and Dad.
Was that it.
Yeah, that was something I helped produce. I came from dramatic training.
Tell us about
where,
that.
I was toiling away. Well, I was at Strasburg. I was at Playwrights Horizons, which if you're in your New York audience will know these acting schools, or anybody who's an actor will know these, especially Lee Strasburg school. But I would do, first of all, scratch the surface of anybody in comedy and you get some tragedy. I mean, I came from a lot of tragedy. So it was, you know, I'd go to the dark places and it, you know, and you'd be in acting class for 5 hours, pouring your heart out in the scene. And then somebody introduced at some point Theater Games, which is that Keith Johnstone, that impro, Viola Spolin stuff. And I was like,
oh, yes,
Viola Spolin. This is so much more fun. And, you know, you're the queen of this stuff. This is so much more fun than anything I've been doing. And I sort of found my comedy. I found the joy in it. I found that, you know, thanks to all the people you came up with who taught me and who I was able to work with, people who had so much more experience than I did, all you guys, you know, I was able to hone a little more into,
well,
you know, I certainly
very
wasn't
brave.
Raised to be a funny lady. I was raised in the South in a born again Christian home, you know, where being funny was not, there was not a high value placed on it. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I remember you just even in the, you would just laugh because you wouldn't have to say anything. You would just walk out and just look and it would be funny. But I think you really,
bless you.
You really, no, you weren't, you would have to be, I would have to say, one of the most fearless performers I saw out there, because you
Thank
were taking
you.
Chances when no one was, oh, no, I'm not going to, you know, if they talked about sex on stage, it was some, you know, sadomasochistic way or domination, but you would come out and almost be like, hello, I'm a housewife, and I'm going
to
talk about.
There was almost an innocence to it. There was almost an innocence to it, and I think that's what they told me on The Daily Show, is they said you could sell swampland in Florida, and there's still kind of an innocence to it. And honestly, The Daily Show was a little too cruel for me, but I think I got away with a lot of it because I was just like, well, I'll do whatever. You know, I don't really have a...
Well, you were a writer there, too. Weren't you a writer?
Well, in what we did as correspondents, especially in the early days, was we were really news correspondents. So we would go with the producer into the field and just create whatever happened. They did not want to do anything sketch. I mean, I think there's been a lot more writing recently, or not even recently, in the past decade. But initially, the model was, and this was back when Kilborn was there for the first 2.5 years, the model was, if it looks like sketch, people won't believe it, and we need people to believe it. We need people to know that I am interviewing David Duke, former, you know, Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, who's now a congressman in Louisiana, and I'm asking him, how do you get stains out of a white sheet? You know, and he's answering me, Clorox. We need people to know
you
that I'm actually
that.
Doing this.
You know?
Say again? How do I do it?
No,
boy,
only you
I
could do
it.
That. Here, slow down, Beth. It's radio. Slow. I can tell you've had your cup of coffee.
Yes, I have. I'm caffeinated.
Yeah, but it's so you would do that in your approach. Now, let's go back a little bit because your career has just been so I loved you in Mystery Alaska.
Thank you.
You had just
a great group.
Subtle approach to great characters where you remind me a little bit, but like, as a pretty version of, like, it's in Snow White, Maleficent.
In Snow White, Maleficent?
Well, Maleficent, bring me her heart.
Oh, the evil queen?
Yes, because you just exude this confidence.
The evil stepmom.
Yes, but it's, oh, that's so funny. Wait a minute. I actually have this is so funny. Let me see if I can do this, Beth. I never had this happen. I have a call coming in from Australia. Hold on.
Wow.
Let me see.
Okay.
Let me see. I think this is a television writer-producer in Australia, but I can't. V, can you see me? Are you in? V? Let's see. I'm looking for her. All right. Nope. Well, she's texting me up the first time. Let me see, because it's my first time with Skype, so.
Oh, wow.
So this is great.
Right. Fancy.
Yeah, well,
in LA.
You have to learn
York.
Everything.
She's in Australia.
You know. I'm looking here.
Yeah.
Here, and
it's all beyond me. In fact, is it better if I call in from a landline, or are we okay if I'm on my cell?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, it's a little tinier, but a landline is fine. You know, for future references, landline are good.
You know, I call on the landline, and nothing had happened.
No,
you
because you didn't get my email that said, wait, there's going to be music, and then I'll introduce you. So I'm looking here.
No,
anyway,
Bea's
trying to contact us, so we'll see what happens. Let me see if I add her to contacts. Maybe she'll come in.
And
so anyway, she's got a great show, by the way, in Australia. It's called Rock Chicks, And it's about it's like absolutely fabulous meets The Runaways. It's a great bizarre show.
Oh, fantastic!
But so let's go back to you.
It's funny that you said The Evil Queen and Snow White, because I think one of like my first little theatrical endeavors when I was a child was, you know, a kid's production of that, and I didn't get the part of Snow White, but I got the part of the wicked stepmother,
Hello.
Evil Queen.
Oh, there she is.
And
there.
V. Oh, good. And
Hi.
I was told that it's more fun to play the villain, and in fact it is more fun.
All right, hang on, Beth. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
I've got Beth Littleford on the phone. I was just telling her about Rock Chicks.
Yeah, listen,
Rock Chicks.
I just decided to try your number, your Skype, you know. Like, I've actually got to go out the door.
All right.
It's so exciting, so I can't actually stay. I'll have to call you back another time.
All right, we'll talk again. Bye.
Yeah, sorry about that, but that's great to hear you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was it. First time with Skype. Now I know it works. Yeah.
And now you know it works. I couldn't hear her. What, she has to call you back?
Yeah, she's going to call me back because she's in Australia on Australia time, but she just she saw it come up, the radio show, so she wanted to check in. V is also a singer. And they're all these talented women. Hey, Beth, let me ask you this. Do you know about Mama Palooza? Have you heard of this?
Yes, I've heard of Mama Palooza, but I've never checked it out.
Well,
it's moms doing spoken word stuff, doing comedy.
Yes, I'm part of that. You should be a part of that when your show gets ready. You said you were working on writing something, right?
I'm working, yes. I've been doing all the spoken word stuff I can. All this spring I'm scheduled to just do 15-minute pieces here and there. I did a motherhood show already where I did my piece called Letter to My Son's Future Therapist. But I'm actually working on a larger sort of story of my life show, which, you know, culminates in where I am now as a mother. And a,
besides being the MILF mom of the decade, let's say you started out, you came from Tennessee?
I was born in Nashville, and when I was 2, we moved to Orlando, and this was before Disney was even in Orlando. So we moved to Central Florida, and then I was raised in a small town called Winter Park, which is a very conservative little old Florida town. It's in the Preppy Handbook. This is why I say this was not conducive to women being loud and funny and fearless. Being a Southern woman is, as you probably know from the cliches, much more about being, you know, kind and well-liked. And, you know, I've certainly played that character plenty. So it was great to grow up around that because, you know, you got it in your pocket. But when I got to New York, I got to New York at age of 21, and I was like, oh, my people. And I was also like, this is the island of misfit toys that I came from. I'm a misfit toy. Do you know about that Christmas show, that Christmas special that's been around for 40 years that we see year after year?
The island
that comes from the island of misfit toys. Yeah, Mommy, Rudolph. It's Rudolph. My husband and I always say we both come from the island of misfit toys, and I kind of feel like Manhattan in the best way is that. So
Silver
I got to Manhattan, and there was a way. There was a way in which I was, you know, I was like, oh,
right,
I'm home.
So slow down now. You were wittiest in high school? Did you get voted wittiest in high school? Is that true?
You really did your research. I got voted wittiest in junior high, yeah.
Junior high, okay.
Which, at that point, I thought, well, it's just because I'm a freak. People think I'm a freak, and they didn't know what to call me, so they called me witty. But now I'll take it.
And now you've also got
witty.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you're so buoyant, and it just, like I said, I'm a big fan of yours, and I don't. You should be on Saturday Night Live. It's just stupid that you're not.
Oh,
and,
well, bless you.
You
well,
know,
I
you
did,
were so
I
eclectic.
Did have my one shot when I started The Daily Show. I tested for it, and it didn't. It was close, but it didn't
well,
work out.
Well,
now
you just have to go back
show,
as a guest. Now, this you're in another
I'd love
show.
To go
don't
back
you have,
as a guest.
Don't you have two shows running, Beth?
Yes. Well, I'm recurring on a couple of things right now. The Cleveland Show, which is the animated show spinoff of Family Guy on Fox. And I play, you know what I play? I play a sort of Southern, she seems nice, but she's really nasty, a sort of nemesis character. And then I also have recurred 3 times on Rules of Engagement, where I play sort of that sort of sex monster that I played for 2 years on Spin City, which is super fun to do. And I've been the mom in a Disney show that's just, its second season is airing right now called I'm in the Band. And that's on Disney XD, which a lot of people don't get, but it's like a boy sitcom. My little son is in a washed-up 80s band. He's the lead guitarist. He's like a 17-year-old boy. So that's rolling out its second season now. And then the show I'm a regular on is starting its second season on MTV. It's called The Hard Times of RJ Berger, and this is what I'm really excited to see the second season of, because I feel like we've taken it to a whole new level of just, like, they say 50% fart, 50% heart, but I feel like it's so much heart and so much truth about, like, the struggles of high school and young love and families being kind of torn apart and thrown asunder and then thrown back together, and it's super funny, and it's actually premiering after the season finale of Jersey Shore, and then it'll go to its regular time,
which is
Monday,
March 28th,
10 o'clock, Mondays at 10 o'clock, The Hard Times of RJ Berger, and I get to play a crazy character in that, which is really, that's the most fun.
Now,
how you get to play a crazy character.
How far from those characters would you say you are?
Isn't it funny? Because I feel like I'm a bowl of mixed nuts, but I live a pretty quiet, sane life. Like, I feel like I've done a lot of work on myself, so I'm, you know, there's none of that Hollywood acting out. You know, we just live in a little bit of a suburban area, and we spend Saturday nights at home catching up on our TiVo shows, and, you know, and I've got a 5.5-year-old son who wakes up at 6:30 every morning, so I'm not out and being crazy, but there is the gift of being able to do all this crazy stuff is that you kind of get to act out on screen. I mean, I would say, I'm not a nymphomaniac, nor am I. You know, I play. I swing from that.
You seem
really
to stumble over that.
Borderline. Let's say again. No,
you were
now?
Stumbling over that.
Well, a sex monster, crazy, freaky, swinging lady, which is kind of what I play in. An
RJ
Berger.
Did you see yourself as this happening to you, Beth? That you would be. Become this vixen kind of character.
Well, it's wonderful because I'm in midlife now, and I'm sort of getting a chance to feel hotter than ever. You know, I spend half the season in lingerie on The Hard Times of RJ Berger, which makes a lady feel good. And I've been actually getting this dancing fever. Like,
oh,
I'm
yes, tell us about that. Tell us about your son's class.
I'm dancing with a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. Louis Van Amstel is a dancer on Dancing with the Stars, so he's the new season, his Kendra is his partner, and he's got a class that I was just like, yeah, I love dancing. I've left this behind, and I love it, and I've returned to hip-hop, and I've gotten into Latin stuff, and I'm really got the fever, and I'm just pretending
now,
that I'm a professional dancer.
Now, what did they ask you to do, your son's school?
Oh, they. My husband told my son's kindergarten teacher that I had learned the dance to Thriller because one of my teachers, my sort of Latin jam teacher, had been in the video of Thriller where all the zombies break out in the big Thriller dance. We all know
this.
From the early 80s. And so on Halloween, I said, we had class, and I said, you know, you have to teach this dance. So she, you know, disseminated the information that on Halloween she was going to teach the Thriller dance. Normally we have 10 people in the class. 60 showed up, some guys in full zombie makeup, and we learned the dance to Thriller. Now, it's harder than just one class will teach. So I studied it myself on, I got the video and just on YouTube, and I studied it, and I had to do a mirror image of it to get it. And then my husband told my son's kindergarten teacher that I knew it, so she had me come in and do it for the class. And I said yes readily and with gusto, and I went in and did the dance. And he's just at the right age where that's not horribly embarrassing for him, where that's kind of cool that his mom came in and did the Thriller. If he was any older, it'd be like, Mom, you're killing me. But it was cool. It was still cool because he's just 5. And so I got to do it, which was made me hot.
This is so funny, Beth. Does any of this ever make it into any of your shows? Because that would be a funny bit.
Yes, well, I'm actually, writing stuff just now and doing more writing. I am writing just about kind of trying to, the mom I am. And I do feel like I'm a good mom, and I'm a cool mom, and I'm a goofy mom. And so some of that gets to make it into my roles. And certainly, yes, it's making it into the writing and the one-woman show stuff
I'm thinking
putting together.
Of the television shows you're on, that you told the writers about this. I think. And
yeah,
shows.
I get to bring stuff into that. Yeah, I get to bring stuff into these shows, which is great. And yeah, you know what's so fun about acting is you get to play extremes. I mean, I swing back and forth between the incredibly uptight, you know, the uptighty whitey, you know, the nosy
mm-hmm.
neighbor. I have a dramedy, a fantastic film that I'm in that I'm so proud of. It's coming out July 29th. It's Steve Carell is starring in with Julianne Moore and Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling and Kevin
wow.
Bacon and Marissa Tomei. And I play Steve Carell and Julianne Moore sort of breaking up at the beginning and were their friends. And I play the sort of nosy, uptight neighbor who's our daughter babysits for them, and I'm very disapproving of Steve and his activity, and you know, and I want my daughter to stay away from him, and you know, it's this fantastic ensemble where all these relationships weave in and out of each other, and it's you laugh, you cry, and I think the movie's going to be a big hit. I'm so
good
proud
part
to
for
part
you,
of
Beth.
It, and it's funny
a good part?
Because I.
Would you say this is a good part for you? Would you say that this
is... Well, this is a fun part because we got to improvise, because I got to play that other side of the mom spectrum, which is more uptight, more disapproving, more gossipy, that Gladys Kravitz, you remember from Bewitched,
yes,
she was the nosy neighbor.
Yes. I was going to say Gladys.
Gladys Kravitz. So I got to play the other end of the spectrum from what I'm doing on R.J. Berger, which is playing a mom with absolutely no boundaries and completely wild and loose. You know, and the directors were fantastic. They're the guys who wrote Bad Santa and a bunch of other really funny movies.
Listen, R.J. Berger, let's get back just one more time because I'm trying to – when does it air? What night of the week?
Okay, R.J. Berger is going to start airing Monday – March 28th at 10, and it will continue Mondays at 10. That's its regularly scheduled time.
Mondays at 10,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you could put it any earlier from the clip I saw.
Well, no, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. You
know, in the chat room.
MTV.
I don't know. Do you remember Gail Parento? As a coincidence.
Course, yes.
Yes, she's my publicist, and I mentioned you, and she's one of the best publicists in New York City, by the way. And I mentioned you. She goes, I know Beth.
Yes, she did. She did the press for Sleeping with Mom and Dad.
That's it.
She does the press for like the OBs and a bunch of stuff. Right?
Oh, look at you, girl! You are up. Yes,
yeah.
She is the top PR person for the OBs for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're so
she's
up
great.
On it.
She's great.
Now, would you consider coming back to New York
now.
To do a play?
Say again.
Would you consider coming back to New York to do a play?
Oh, I would love to do a play. Just being on stage recently doing, you know, this motherhood show I did where we're all talking, you know, all these experiences of motherhood. Just being on stage in front of an audience, and that's why I love sitcoms in front of live audiences, but that speaking to an audience thing or that being in front of riding the wave of an audience's reaction is so magical. It's the magic theater. I hate to sound cheesy, but it is. And I would love to do it, but out here at the agents, don't push for it because there's no money and there's not as much theater. And the theater is either, you know, somebody putting up the money and just trying to be seen, or it's, you know, let's get.
Yeah, it's not like
here.
New York
you
where
know,
you can find
really,
a space.
It's really only the superstars are the ones who are being put in these shows. And I just, you know, it's just like, you know, I'm a character actor. Let me do anything in theater. I'd love it. But my agents are not in any kind of rush to get me in a run
no,
of a stage play.
No,
you know, there's
money
a rush
theater
to get me in
theaters and everything else. There's a question on the chat room. Gail Parento. Hi, Gail. She wants to know, Beth, what was the name of the playwright for Sleeping with Mom and Dad?
Oh, gosh, what was his name? Can't remember. Oh, I can't remember.
And she also says, it's great to hear about all the things you were doing, Beth. We are big fans of yours, and we miss you in New York City. That's a compliment
that's nice.
Coming from the press agent for the Obies.
I know and remember Gail very well. I can't remember the playwright's name, and that was such a nice collaborative project. That was a lot of fun. Although producing is, you know, it's like being a mom. It's like a lot of work and very little thanks. But, you know, it's hard work to produce a play. And it's, you know, especially because there's no money and you're just, you know, you're getting it up night after night. But I do miss those old days. You know, we used to do it. I know you used to do it.
Yeah.
We can rent a theater. We've got a troupe of improvisers. We've got a troupe of sketch comedians. Let's put on a show.
Yeah.
And I do miss that.
And even now it's getting harder to do in New York. It's getting harder because the theaters, it used to be everybody had a room somewhere you could do something. And now, do you remember Surf Reality, right?
Yeah.
Surf Reality and all those kind of rooms. Nope. They were great because that's where you could do your offshoot. She wants to mention something. I want to mention that we had Anne Hathaway as an Obie presenter in 2009.
Oh, that's exciting. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That's the OB.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. If I had more star power, I mean, that's the thing is I would love to lend that star power to anything theatrical.
I think you do have star power, and I think that's unfortunately what it is you may have to go on Dancing with the Stars to everyone. For people to realize that.
Yeah, it's a real publicity game. It really is, which is why I'm trying to get out there more and talk more. And thank you for having me on your show. I'm trying to
New York. Tom's working on his he's got a CD coming out that he's working on. So he said to say hi.
Tom Carosa,
old friend
Tom.
I mean, Tom on Facebook. Oh, Beth Littleford, you're also on Facebook.
Yes, I am. I was scared to do it, and then my publicist set up a page for me. So it's a page where you can go and like me. It's not the traditional friend request type thing, but I am on it every day, and it's a lot of fun. And I've got, you know, old people from my hometown in high school, and people from New York.
So people can friend you, and they can also find out what you're going to be in next by going to www.bethlittleford.com. Now, my publicist just said. Ms. Parento said about Beth's play, she was ahead of her time on Sleeping with Mom and Dad. Beth had
That's
really professional
nice.
tape. Oh, you had taped vignettes in the body of the play. You were so ahead. It was 78 feet.
I had
Playhouse.
What? Say it again.
She was way ahead of her time on Sleeping with Mom and Dad. Beth had really professionally taped vignettes in the body of the play. Is that at the 78th Street Playhouse?
Yes, it was. Gosh, that's
Oh, I think my play is going to be there in May. My show's going to be there.
That's great. Yes, which is
a tiny theater, right?
Like you go upstairs, tiny little black box theater.
That's where I'm doing my play for Jazz Housewife for the Montpellier Festival.
Oh, that's great.
A full circle fest. That's, my goodness, that's still there. And that's great that you're doing so much stuff. And this I'm very excited for the I love Steve Carell.
That's a great movie. I've seen a screening of it. I laughed. I cried. I was sitting in front of the directors. They said, "You're great to sit behind because I'm so reactive to everything." But I was cheering. I was sobbing. It's a real wonderful ride. It's a really heartfelt movie. Of course, it's funny. We got to do some fun improv. I mean, we got to improvise so much that it's sort of sad. Like, oh, so much is cut out. But of course, it's such a rich story with so many characters. They really had to shave it down. But I think it's tight.
Well, that's just interesting. Now, let me go over some of your filmography here, Beth, because it's just you've got to just tell me a little bit about each one. I'm going to start down here. I got to know about this one, Saddam 17.
That was a short that was done by a guy who was a real up-and-coming writer, and it won a casting award, the Artios Awards. Eric Stone Street was in that. Our friend from Modern Family, who just won the Emmy, he pulled me in. And, oh, my gosh, the guy who played Saddam is a great character actor. You see him in sitcoms. He was in Andy Richter Controls the Universe. Oh, I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, I know
who he played Saddam. And,
all right, now, A Cool, Dry Place.
Okay, A Cool, Dry Place was my first movie. It starred Vince Vaughn. I was doing The Daily Show. I got pulled up to Toronto to just do a Southern character, one of these Dallas women. It was a small part, but I remember it was my first experience on a movie set, and I was so used to, like, that tiny cable budget of The Daily Show where it's like I had to bring my own wardrobe, and I had to, you know, So to even have a wardrobe person was sort of shocking. To have a stand-in was shocking. She said, "Well, how high are your heels, my stand-in?" And I said, "Well, here, you wear them." And she said, "Oh, honey, no, I can't wear your heels." There was all these rules. I was trying to help, you know, move lights and boxes, and the grip guys
get in trouble for that.
What now? Yeah,
because it's a huge
production. So that was my entree into the film world.
And 24-hour woman.
A 24-Hour Woman was an indie done by Nancy Savoca. That was in New York with a great ensemble cast. Nancy Savoca had did beautiful movies with, like, Lily Taylor and River Phoenix. I think one
was
called Dogfight.
Say again? Was that Rosie Perez? In that film?
And Rosie Perez was in it. A great cast was in it. Rosie Perez, Marianne Jean-Baptiste, who is on Without a Trace now. I got to see her when I guested on Without a Trace. Yeah, it was a fantastic ensemble cast. One of these little New York indies that was great.
Okay,
and
let's
just,
go. Mystery Alaska. People, I loved you in that. I just absolutely, I think a lot of people remember you from that.
Mystery Alaska was such a fun movie. David Kelly wrote it, David E. Kelly from The Practice and all that, you know, and Boston Legal and Boston Public. And then it was directed by Jay Roach, who directed all the Focker movies and Austin Powers. So he's a fantastic director. It was Russell Crowe's first big film after, 50s one. What was the 50s one called?
L.A. Confidential?
L.A. Confidential. It was his first movie, so he was breaking out. It was right after Burt Reynolds did Boogie Nights. It was this, again, was an incredible ensemble cast.
Film.
I was just glad to be a part of. Picture this indie. With the one where you're only just getting a bag of Cheetos for the whole day, and you're sitting on a stoop in New York while you're shooting in somebody's friend's apartment. But it was a romantic comedy, and I played the best friend, which I often do. It was a real sweet little movie. New York.
And
New
Unconditional
York.
Love?
Unconditional Love is P.J. Hogan, who did Muriel's Wedding and a bunch of great movies. And it was with Kathy Bates. That was a weird one. I've not seen that one. It was with Rupert Everett and Kathy Bates in a fantastic cast of great seasoned actors, but a weird script. And it never, and it was when New Line was changing hands, and
it never
got
came
released.
Out? Did it come out?
Well, people, it never got released theatrically. People see it in the middle of the night. They go, what movie was that I saw you in? And I've never seen it. I've got to rent it. I can rent it. I've never seen it. Small part,
funny.
Fun.
Drill Bit Taylor.
Fun gig. Say again. Oh, Drill Bit Taylor, again, this was a big one, a big Paramount movie. Judd Apatow produced. Owen Wilson starred in it. A lot of improvising. I played the mom of the lead boy, the kind of hero boy. My husband was a guy from Upright Citizens Brigade, who's really
funny.
I've
worked with Josh Peck.
Josh Peck, tell me what he did. What did Josh Peck do?
I haven't seen Drill Bit, but I will now that you're in it. He's got black hair. He's heavy set at the time.
Say it again?
He was the heavy set boy.
Oh, the heavy set boy. Josh Peck? Who was the other little, there was a skinny boy who was my son, and then there was a really funny sort of Jonah.
Yes. He used
type,
to be on Josh and Drake.
Is his name Josh? I can't remember if it's his name.
Oh,
but
I thought he was in it. Maybe
Walters
I'm wrong.
Played his mom. No, but he was hilarious, and he's sort of, you know, breaking out. And what was interesting is that at the time I was also cast as Michael Cera's mom in Superbad, and they were both Judd Apatow movies, kind of the same theme. This was Paramount. It was a lot cleaner. It was a lot bigger. And they said, do this one. You can't do both. They're both going to come out at the same time, and they're both the same. They're both written by Seth Rogen. They're both going to be the same thing. And so then I chose Drill Bit, which is a bigger part in a bigger movie, but didn't have the release. Owen Wilson had the suicide attempt.
What we're really
again,
looking
you never
for
know
now
what these
is
are going to be.
Crazy Stupid Love.
That's the one I'm really excited about. Fingers crossed. We'll have a big release this summer. They've got a summer weekend, July 29th. There's no conflicts in terms of big summer movies, and
right.
That you know it's supposed to be released in spring. But the fact that Warner Brothers moved it to summer is a great sign.
Oh, you
so,
have
you know,
somebody in the chat room from Greece is listening.
From Greece.
Hi, Talking
wow.
Progressive, Vicky in Greece. Any questions for Beth? She just tuned in. Yes, I'm telling you, Australia, Greece, it's an international show. So we're going to seed the market there. We're going to get, when Best Movie comes out there, okay, Vicky, you got to go say it's the best movie you've ever seen, all over Greece.
Yeah.
Actually, she has a radio show there, too, so hopefully she'll mention it there. So you have this.
Great.
You have all these TV shows. I like what you're doing. Now I got to follow you, now that we've reconnected, follow you even closer, because I do think, Beth, what do you think you're – I mean, you just play the comedy so well. I'd almost, when I said Maleficent, I just meant the power of the character who's beautiful and can be evil at the same time. But you can also be that kind of Candace Bergen type of character.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Well,
what an incredible compliment. Yes, I think just because of the way I look, and certainly I can pull up into that kind of, you know, that sort of waspy dignity that the Candace Bergen has.
Oh, yeah, but
and
it's
then
that
I can also
dry
be a giant
edge
goofball.
To it where you play the comedy over the top, but then you could bring it all back. And that's what I like about your acting and your performing. You can bring
Thank
it
you.
All back, and then it just becomes subtle. Oh, Talking Progressive says, yes, I will. Okay, I will. She's going to pin
Greece,
you all over
fantastic.
Greece.
Fantastic. Great.
And
great.
What do we have to? Oh, 5 minutes. Hold on. And so that's great. And now what do you hope? If you had any advice to give these actors out there today, what would you tell them?
Well, when I was speaking about Jane Lynch earlier, the model, which is just keep going, say yes to everything, say yes to the big, say yes to the small, view every opportunity to perform as a gift and go out there and give your best. I think it's easy to get caught up in compare and despair, you know, that sort of why don't I have what they have? I've been working so long. And that's, you know, it's kind of don't compare yourself to anyone. You're on your own divine path. And it's just about doing something that I love to do. You know, hopefully we're all in this because we love doing it. And we're just giving, like, our gift to the world and giving the gift back of being able to do it. You know, like I said, I'm not curing cancer, I'm not saving lives, but I do hopefully get to bring a little comedy into the world, get to make somebody laugh. That's a wonderful treat for me. And I feel like, you know, as they said on the Oscars the other night, actors act, performers perform. I have a newfound, like, dedication to finding any opening and any kind of spoken word night where I'm going to do my writing and I'm going to get up there and tell my stories, because I really feel that's empowering. And that's what
You're
I did
to watch on
15 years
too.
Ago that got me the Daily Show. You know, that
got
me the Daily
it.
Show.
That's your fearlessness. And also you don't have a jealous thing about, you know, as Gore Vidal said, every time a friend succeeds, I die a little. But it's,
well,
it's that
I struggle with that. They said an executive at Fox told me about reading Variety, which is this, you know, trade mag. Says
mm-hmm.
reading Variety, he said, 6 minutes to read, 6 hours to get over. Mm-hmm. And the point is, it's that every time someone succeeds, I die a little. It's something that's rife out here. Everyone struggles with it, I think. And I've worked very hard to not get hurt or discouraged by, well, why haven't I gotten to that place yet?
Well, I think you will, Beth, and I think we have to have a campaign to get you as a host on Saturday Night Live. And I just
oh, baby, let's say right now, someday it's going to happen.
It's
going to happen.
It's going to happen. And
that,
the hard
and
times, until
happen.
Then, Monday nights at 10, starting March 24th, The Hard Times of R.J. Berger. You can also go to www.BethLittleFord.com, one word, and just get and Facebook her and be her Facebook friend, and she'll keep
yeah,
you posted.
You know, like me on Facebook. I'm there every day updating.
I think you should be on Dancing with the Stars
videos.
Now. You can do Thriller.
I'm going to do, yes. You know what? Let's say that's going to happen, too. I'm going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
I think you will be on
Keep
Dancing.
An eye out, people. Keep
I mean,
an eye out.
Definitely. I think
you
have, if you can do Thriller. And I also wish you good wishes with your show. And the
Thank
thing
you.
About New York that's different is you can be anonymous here and perform anywhere and nobody knows. Where I think in L.A., everybody, you know, I saw you in
right.
that show.
Right. I mean, I do love the
hey,
anonymity
Vicky
of being
and Greece,
a character actor.
We're in the last minute. Vicky and Greece said, see you hosting Saturday Night Live one day, Beth.
Oh, bless her. Bless her. I say from you all's lips to the producer's ears. Let's hope it happens. Woohoo! I'm going to start chugging towards that goal.
I think,
you know,
I think
that's the mantra, is keep on chugging.
You have done such a body of work that I think that's the one thing that the one unknown factor is you're going to have to do some silly, silly thing. And that will be, they know you from The Daily Show, but look at all
yeah.
these other roles. These are fantastic roles, and you're constantly working two and three shows at a time. Dancing at the Stars, it might have to be.
You know what? Whatever it needs to be, I mean, I'm just going to try to approach it all with a sense of humor and a sense of fun and a sense of gratitude.
Oh, that's a good attitude. Beth Littleford, www.BethLittleford.com. We're We're winding down. Have fun being a mom. It's the greatest thing in the world.
It is.
And I still smell my son's head, and he's 16. And he says, stop smelling my head.
That's great. I love it.
But enjoy all the best. You've got a great joie de vivre, and I wish you much luck. And please, if you come to New York, let us know. We'll go to the Friars Club. We'll hang out. Good luck with everything. And listen, when your show gets closer to the date again, the opening, just shoot me an email and I'll mention it again on the show. And,
thank you so much, Nancy.
And
you're a really kind, loving lady. Thank you. Thanks for your
support. And when the film, too. If you want to send somebody over, say, Nancy, can you get this person? Can you interview them? I'll do the director, whoever you want. Just send them over and we'll push the film, too. Beth Littleford,
great.
You're fantastic. You put... you're the answer to comedy's got MILF. Beth Littleford, talented comedian, soon to be on Dancing with the Stars. Thank you for being a guest today, Beth.
Thanks, Nancy. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
This has been Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio, with our fantastic guest, Beth Littleford. Thank you for joining in. Tune in again. Bye.